everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire world. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast, minus technological challenges. Yeah. We almost didn't have this episode.
Yeah, everything's great.
Everything is great. You know?
We made it. Of fighting with a computer.
I bet it's the AI starting to take over. It knows how you feel about it, so it's trying to undermine our podcast.
It hates me. I hate it more, though.
Well,
robots hate me, but I hate them more. Okay.
What's funny is I actually have been leaning into using the AI at work for some analysis things a little bit more. And
it's coming to bite us in the ass.
No, it's okay. It's great. It's great. And actually, it is very helpful. I've been finding helpful practical uses. What I'm not doing is talking to my AI chatbot as if it's my therapist or a lover in the night, you know?
And you're also not using really generative AI to make, like, the world's ugliest flyers.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Also, you know, we're pretty tolerant here at Grey's Academy of the kinks and things that people have that they do sexually. But if you are sexually involved with an AI, I think we draw the line at
seek therapy.
That tolerance from a human therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Goodness. Well, hello.
Let's talk about it.
About Grey's or about AI? Oh, okay.
God, no, not about AI. We did have go away, computer. The note to read from Kai.
Oh, yes.
Asked me to read.
Yes.
This is from one of our lovely listeners, Kai. She sent this to me and asked that I read it on the podcast. She messaged and said, "Hi, I would like to say something. This isn't just a podcast for me. This is a family you have created for us all, a safe haven where we get to talk endlessly about Grey's and joke around like friends, but also supporting one another. You and Carmen created something more than just a Grey's podcast. I have given 5-star reviews everywhere I can already, but I think you should read this in an episode to remind people that we're all in this together. Cue High School Musical song, and it started with 2 friends watching Grey's for a podcast and turned into a family." And that is very sweet, and I love it a lot. And I am very appreciative of the community that we have built, and just love it. It does make me feel happy in my heart, and it does make it worth it when I have to be mad at the computer for 35 minutes because it is being stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the truth that we work hard to make a community here, and we appreciate all the love and the support. And you know, we only get to do this content because there's listeners. We don't just make this content and then listen to it ourselves. It's not like, you know, we're not that vain. I think there's a little bit of a little bit of vanity, but we're not sitting here going, "Let's make a podcast just so that we can
just
listen
for
to
us."
It. Yeah, which is the opposite of like the advice that I was given. Back when I was doing music, it was write music and create music that you would feel good listening to and you would want to listen to. I don't feel that with this podcast. I don't make a podcast that I want to go listen to. I know what I said, you know?
Yeah, and I stand by it.
Yeah.
10 toes down.
10 toes down. So let's do a thing. Let's do the podcast
Let's do a podcast. This is episode 17 of the 10th season. And it's just crazy how far we've gotten. It is episode 213 overall. It is called "Do You Know?" And that is a catchy fucking song.
So what's funny, so "Do You Know?" is, in parentheses, the ping pong song, is by Enrique Iglesias. Yep. So released in 2007, it was the first single from his 8th studio album titled Insomniac, and it was released April 24th, 2007. So,
which is crazy. I did not realize how long ago this song was. And when I saw the title, I knew that this song had that title, but I was like, this has to be another song because there's no way it's that Enrique Iglesias song because I don't remember it coming out in 2007 because my entire life is a blur at this point.
Yes.
So, When I then went and found out that this it was this one. And then even when the website told me it was this one, I was like, that can't be right. And so I went and looked up when this came out, and I was like, it did come out in 2007. That's crazy.
There's for sure right now, what I'm realizing in my life is there's a couple of time gaps in life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 2005 to 2010 feels like a gap. That was high school for me. That feels like a gap. Also, it was 2006 to 2010. I didn't take an extra year of high school. So sorry. But 2005 to 2010 is like a weird gap year. And then there's a group of years. And then there's basically from 2020 to 2025. Feels like a weird group of gap years.
See, for me, the 2020 to now feels like it has not possibly been 6 years.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's not like, even like a gap. It's like, how has it been so fucking long and yeah. also not happened?
When like, so Kelsey texted our group chat of her, Michael, me, and Jessica the other day and is like, it was 7 years since we were in Europe on our honeymoon. Like, it's time we go back. And I'm thinking in my head, there's no way that was 7 years. Yeah. That happened last week. I don't understand what's going on.
It's like literally when Scarlett, like on her sixth birthday, I was like, well, this, you can't be six because you're an infant.
Right.
This cannot, but I also have two other babies who are, one is not a baby. They're really not both babies anymore, but they're my, like, it just blows my mind.
Yeah. Or, podcast, John. There's no way that, like, Marlo turns five this year. It just, it doesn't.
It's just like, and every time I'm at a wedding and it's like the mother-son dance or like the mom and the daughter are like taking their getting ready pictures, I'm like, I'm going to blink and this will be me with my children. It will be insane. I don't get it.
Yeah. I find myself fighting the constant urge of the days are long and the years are short every single fucking day. Every single fucking period T day. Period.
Yeah. And every time someone says it to me, they're saying it to me because I'm annoyed about something. And I'm like, I am aware of that. And you're not helping.
No. What was Marlo doing? Literally, like, I was having an allergic reaction this past weekend. And I took some Benadryl. And I, like, fell asleep on the chair while we were watching. Was it Bolt? I think we watched the movie Bolt.
What a good movie.
Great movie. And I've seen it before.
The soundtrack's incredible.
Yeah, it's so good. And I fell asleep, and then all of a sudden the movie was over, and I'm like, I just wasted an entire movie that I could have watched with my family because I'm sick. Like, should I have just powered through that? Should I have, like, forced myself to stay awake after taking Benadryl? I don't know. You know, but, like,
it's times... You need to get better, otherwise the sickness lingers, and then you miss more things.
In sickness, or, like, when I get a migraine or something, I'm like, all I need right now is I need to go lay down, and I know I'm missing time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's really a catch-22 in a lot of ways, but, you know.
Well, that's my struggle with work. Because people just only be getting married on the weekends. And that's really a bummer for me. Because, like, it's going to get to a point where I'm going to have enough employees. I don't need to work the weddings, but I just, like, love doing it.
Yeah.
But I hate missing out on things.
Well, we just got to normalize more Tuesday, Wednesday weddings.
Literally.
Remember when we had... Last tangential time lapse thing here, but remember when we all had Tuesdays, Wednesdays off as a friend group, and it was like we just would spend 48 hours straight in a pool drinking,
doing other
things. I was never mind.
Good times.
Yeah. So, anyways, Enrique Iglesias. So this song did very well, and when I was listening to it, all I thought in my head was that song from Pitch Perfect. I got my tickets, like the cup song. Yeah, whatever the cup song.
I don't have a cup in here, but I do have a cup.
It's perfect. It's beautiful. Okay.
It's an empty cup, so it didn't work very well, but I can do it. I've known how to do that since, like, middle school. It's one of those skills you have, and you're like, why do I have this ability?
Did your school make you do the cup races where you'd stack up the cups and turn them?
Hell yeah.
What a fucking joke.
Those were amazing.
Listen, it was wild, but like that and explaining to Marlo that she's gonna have to learn how to square dance in like PE, like it doesn't make any sense. What did we do as children? I don't know. So, but luckily for us, the president's bringing back the Presidential Medal of Fitness, you know.
Thank
so,
God.
Thank God. So,
that's the only thing we need in this country.
This song charted in the top 100 in the following countries: Austria, Belgium, Canada, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Denmark, France, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, the Netherlands, Norway, Romania, Russia, Slovakia, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and the United States, with the song reaching number 21 on the Hot 100 in the United States and number 1 in the U.S. Hot Latin Songs and U.S. Tropical Songs Billboard. Didn't know there was a Tropical Songs Billboard. So yeah, this song did pretty well. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Like, it's kind of catchy.
It's very catchy. Crazy.
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of.
Do you know what it feels like loving someone that's in a rush to throw you away? Do you know? Do you know?
Incredible, amazing. I feel like I was listening to the song here. So
I actually wrote that for it.
That's beautiful. I will give it a subjective 3 and an objective 3, but it did not make it to my iTunes library. I'm so sorry, everyone. But before I hand this back to Kelsey, I want to take a minute. You know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't done a shout out to entire countries at large. Mm. So do you have any guess? Not, I'm looking at 2 years worth of data right now. Do you know who our top five, I'll say 4 out of our top fives, the United States is number one in our streaming, in streaming. But do you want to take a guess at our then next 4 of the top 5 countries?
Germany.
Germany, yes.
Australia.
Australia, yes.
New Zealand.
No.
Brazil.
No.
South Africa.
No.
Okay, that's it. Because I've gotten emails from people from those countries. So if it's not that, I'm out. I don't really know.
That's okay.
Is there a Finland on there?
Finland is on here, yes. All of these countries are on our charts.
Yeah, they're just not in that order.
I'm going to say the next 2 and you're going to feel goofy.
Canada and Mexico.
Canada, yes. Mexico, no. We went there on our honeymoon.
England.
The UK.
Yeah.
So at number 1, United States, you don't need any more shout outs, America. You're
in timeout.
Not all of us.
The listeners.
Yeah,
but
not
like
the listener.
You, the country.
The country, the royal you. And then speaking of the royal you, the UK.
Yeah.
Number 2. And then Canada, number 3. Germany, number 4. Australia, number 5. Now, I am going to give some honorable mentions here. So the Netherlands, shout out to the Netherlands. We love our Nordic countries. Ireland, Denmark, Sweden, France, Austria. And then we get some love from Israel, Spain, Finland, Japan, then New Zealand. Actually, New Zealand, Brazil, and South Africa are all right next to each other. So that's really funny. So, amazing. Yeah, if you're listening to us internationally, please send an email to gradesacademypod@gmail.com. Please let Kelsey know where you're listening from. Also, a PSA to everyone really quickly. Do make sure that you are following the Instagram and following us there. Go to Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram. And then follow me, carmen.gabriel.official. Follow Kelsey at CatechlyKelsey. I want to put a PSA out there. I, for a while, had the notifications turned on for Spotify from the creator side of things. And I was like, I want to respond to these comments as they come in. This is like so fun. Kelsey has urged me that there are spoilies in there, so I'm not going
to
risk it.
I think people have just gotten used to the fact that I am on most of our socials.
So they think
that it's like a safer space. And it's not, no one's doing anything intentional. Like, I also didn't realize Carmen had that turned on. And then I went to look at the comments and saw that he had already responded. And I said, you're a maniac. Get the hell off the comments.
Yeah. So anyways, I have those turned off, so I'm not going to respond. But if you have anything that you want me specifically to see and you're commenting on Spotify, make sure you say something to the effect of, hey, Kelsey, screenshot this and send it to Carmen so he sees it. Or just message me on Instagram or just email us. But whatever you do, make sure you do a 5-star review. You hit that like button, that follow button. It helps the algorithm. We have we went through like a weird winter phase where we were super down and we felt like our streams were down a little bit. We've come back with a fever of fire and flames.
Fiery fever of fire.
A fever, yes. So we are really making the comeback here, and we've been seeing a ton of streams, a ton of new streams, a ton of new listeners. So really appreciate you guys. And with that, Kelsey, I'll turn it back to you. Let's do a fucking Grey's episode.
Let's talk about this.
Wait,
show.
Stop. I have one more thing to say.
Let's not talk about the show.
This is going to be the last episode we have before Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mommies. And I hope you got a notification, but I did use the code to get the Skylight for Jessica.
I did get the little... Well, I got the email and I was like, I bet Carmen got it for Jessica.
I did.
And have you told her, or are you going to give it to her on Mother's Day?
Well, hold on. Jessica, because she's an asshole. Because she is who she is. We're both assholes, honestly. Like, yeah. we deserve each other. Deserve each other's asshole and the asshole of each other. So she was like, I'm just going to buy it. And I was like, can you please not? And she's like, well, I want it. And I was like, can you just shut the fuck up for 1 second in your life?
And you know what? That is annoying because I told her that I told you to get it for her for Mother's Day.
I was going to get it for her the whole time.
And like, she knew that I was telling you to get it for her for Mother's Day.
So she's on the website. She's like, I'm just going to buy it. And I was like, can't just stop. Just fucking stop. And she's like, are you getting it? And I said, I'm not getting you anything for Mother's Day, but don't get that. So I messaged her today and I said, hey, not that I got you anything for Mother's Day, but if I did, do you want your Mother's Day present today or on Mother's Day? Not that I got you anything. And she hasn't responded. So I don't know. And that was like at 8 a.m.
I can't believe that that woman is at her job doing her work and not selfish responding to your
bitch. Well, who does she fucking think she is?
I really think you'll love it. It's really, it was worth the investment. It's already helped us a lot. And I think especially with like appointments and stuff that you have to keep up with in addition to like your stuff, all your Marlo activities and like, especially with your work schedule not being like the same all the time, I think you will find it to be a helpful tool when it comes to like the mental load.
Well,
we are not sponsored by Skylight, but like, for God's sakes, if Skylight wants to sponsor us, please. Sing its praises.
Skylight.
I am doing the work for free right now, but like, Skylight, we will please sponsor us.
I messaged them and I said, I'd love to be a sponsor because my co-host and best friend said she's going to buy it, and I think I'm going to buy it, but I'd love to sponsor you guys or talk through it.
Also reach out to them as well via the email and be like, seriously.
So if anyone out there listens to this, knows someone who works at Skylight or went to school with someone who works at Skylight and you haven't talked to them in years and you've been watching their kids grow up on Facebook or Instagram from a distance, here is your sign to reconnect with them and introduce
on our
us
behalf.
Them. Yes.
Okay.
I'm done. Grey's Anatomy.
This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by Chandra Wilson.
Whoa! Oh, I thought you were going to say Shonda Rhimes. Chandra Wilson. Okay.
Yeah. Aired March 27th, 2014. So we're almost in line with when it aired. We're a little bit behind, like a month and a half, but it aired to 8.42 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, sorry, I got thrown off because the computer was being mad, so I'm not in Google Chrome, which is really, I hate Microsoft Edge, but that's what I'm having to use right now.
Oh, you had to download like a whole new browser to be able to do this podcast?
Yeah, everything's going great.
That's hilarious.
A troubling case has Christina imagining two futures, one in which she and Owen have children, and another in which her career reaches new heights. I think this episode is well done. However, I don't super see the point of it.
Yeah.
And I'll say it's well done, I will say I do wish at the beginning it was clearer what was happening.
Yeah, I texted Kelsey at one point and I was like, what did I even say? I said,
did I miss an episode?
Yeah, genuinely, I said, I'm like very lost in this, but...
Well, you sent it to me and I hadn't watched the episode yet, but as soon as you sent me what is happening in this episode, I was like, oh, I bet it's that weird episode.
Yeah, I said, is this episode a weird setup or did I miss something? Because there was just a scene where Jackson has bad hands and can't operate. And then I realized, oh, Christina's pregnant. So this definitely is not a real episode. Yeah.
Yeah, I do wish that there had been a little more handholding in the explanation of like the what if aspect of it. Because yeah, it's like it just starts time jumping with like no explanation. Which
forwards and backwards.
Yeah. And then back across the same time frame but a different timeline. So it's just strange. And then to skip ahead, it ends with
a different version
of the same time. Yeah, like Christina saving Jackson's hand and then not talking to Owen. It's so strange. Again, I think the acting in this and the writing for these like hypotheticals is really well done and really well executed. I just like think that ultimately I don't know what the goal was with it. Like what was the reason?
Yeah, my personal take is, and I've said this before and I've been wrong, I think that this was shutting the door on Christina and Owen. It was showing us that it's not meant to be, and there's a world where it could happen, but it ends with, because basically there's three timelines. There's a timeline where Christina and Owen choose each other, and then she basically sacrifices and she has kids for him, but she gives up her career and Shane wins the Harper Avery.
Mm-hmm.
And then is there a third timeline? There's a timeline where she saves a person's life.
They still are together, but they don't get married and they don't have kids. She sacrifices nothing. Like they basically continue to do what they're doing now. And Owen is like saying, it's enough for me. And it's obviously not. And then it ends up basically he's like an alcoholic and he's like working drunk and hurting people. And so it's essentially like there's two timelines where they're together. And like the moral of the story is if these people are together, it only is bad. There's no way these two people who do love each other can be together and be happy, which is a bummer. Like just on a macro sense, like that's a story for people. On a micro sense, I don't hate it because I do hate Owen. So like, it's fine that he can't be with her because I love her. So, but it's, did you ever watch La La Land?
No, but I heard good things.
It's, in my opinion, it's a great movie. I think it was stunning, like visually. I think it's really, it's very divisive because a lot of people are like, well, can I spoil it?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't end up together, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, because they're just like their lives are coming to a point where someone's going to have to make a sacrifice that would end in resent. Like there's no way they wouldn't resent the other one because he's like about to achieve his dream and she's going to achieve her dream, but they're not going to be able to be together because they physically have to be apart for a very long time. So they're like, and people are like, well, if they would just make sacrifices, they could be together. I'm like, that is true to a point. But, like, they also recognize within each other that, like, they want to see the other person succeed more than they want to be together. Does that make sense? So it's like, they like, the knowledge of, like, making the sacrifice and the other person not getting to achieve the thing that they've dreamt of their entire life isn't worth it. And, like, I think that is another level of loving someone.
Yeah.
I did watch that movie. And I was like, that was really good. And then I was like, went and took a shower and I was like thinking about it. And then I was just like sobbing uncontrollably in the shower. I was like, that's so sad, but it's so real. but I like didn't cry when I was watching the movie. I like very rarely cry when I watch a show or a movie. But I was like in the shower just like thinking about it. I was like, what a good movie. And then I was just like,
You know, relationships are very interesting, right? Like,
it's very true.
Even... I don't know. Like, I think back to when Jess and I were long distance.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't sacrifice anything until, like, there was a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the one who moved to Florida. And there was a period of time where I did feel a little bit of resentment. But it wasn't, like, a lingering thing. And it was...
It was like in the adjustment transition period.
It was in the adjustment transition period, but it was never directly aimed at Jessica. It was like, what have I done? It wasn't, you made like, me make this choice, you know? But all of those things worked out in the end because we have this great life and it was meant to be all of those things. But, you know, I definitely see that. There's an episode of Psych that, are we going to do a Psych watch? I mean, it's not going to be the same with fully
it's
no spoilers.
It's not going to be for another 17 years at this point.
Well, let me just tell you, we're going to do that eventually because I'll be the professor and she could be the student. But there's an episode that's very well done like this episode, but it's very clear where, basically it's, does someone find out if Sean is psychic or do they not find out if he's psychic? Mm-hmm. And that's like the whole plot twist of the episode is they go down this whole route where they don't find out and they kind of live in bliss and they never know. And then there's the other one that happens where they are like, they find out and then it ends in very poorly. But I think it's done really well because they kind of have the mechanism where it's rewinding things. And then the screen of the color actually is like a much brighter screen versus a much darker screen. They're like, this is all shot in the same way.
Yeah. And it's like when they had that What If episode a couple seasons ago that people really also hate.
Yeah. I liked it.
We didn't like it. Yeah. We didn't mind it. We really had no, like, I understand why people hate it, but like, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
But I think they set it up at the beginning and it's very obvious that it's just like an alternate timeline of like, what if things had gone differently?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like that, it's like, I don't mind it again. And I honestly can't remember like the first time watching this. I'm sure we were also confused. Unless I like, I don't know, maybe the promo, I'll have to look up the promo in between episodes and see if it like told us that it was imaginary. But yeah, it's just it's weird because I was like, I enjoyed watching it, but I was also the whole time was like, but what's the reason? What do you want the audience to take away from this? Is it that there's no world where Owen and Christina can be together? Is that the takeaway? Because I'm fine with that. That's a fine takeaway.
Yeah.
I've felt that takeaway. I don't need to be told that.
That
I feel
was
like
my
I've known that for a long time.
The only other takeaway that I could have gotten from that is the only thing keeping Owen from being an alcoholic is Christina, which is an interesting...
But it's like, not because even when he and her are together, he still ends up... They're just not... married with kids, but like he's still there together.
Oh yeah,
it's bizarre. I don't even really know how to talk through this episode because it's so weird, but so I'm just gonna like ask you about it.
Well, was there two timelines or was there three? I thought that she came back to the guy three times. Jason.
The third and final time is reality.
Oh, that's right.
So we'll talk about the two imaginary timelines and then we can touch on reality because that we only get like a 2 minute of reality. So we'll start the launching pad for this episode is this patient, Jason, and his wife, Elise. So the episode starts and Christina and Shane are in surgery. It starts with a bunch of Owen Christina flashbacks, which like, fuck off, I don't care.
Like a montage of their
but it's
craziness.
Like in a weird like tunnel vision, like it's not the whole screen, it's like you're looking in through like a little window.
Because the metaphor is with Christina and Owen, you never get the full picture.
There's not a you don't want to get the full picture.
Whole lot of fucking.
But I will say when it does the title card, it's the regular and then it goes created by Shonda Rhimes. And then there's like the created by Shonda Rhimes is centered. And then like a shadow of it splits and it goes up and down.
Yeah.
So I think I was like, okay, they do utilize the title card to kind of show us like when an episode is going to be a little bit different. They could have done more. But I'm like, again, knowing that what the episode was, I was like, okay, I noticed that. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's what they're doing with this. Anyways, so the episode starts and Christina and Shane are in surgery. And this guy, like, they cannot figure out what's going on with his heart. They cannot get him stable. And she figures out it's the Mamba, which is like some very difficult heart problem that they have to solve on this very specific area of the heart, and it's like almost nearly impossible to fix. And of course they do it because they're them. And they're like all excited. And then as soon as they fix it, Derek comes in to go over the scans, and they're like, he says, his C4 and C3 are shattered. He's paralyzed from the neck down. He's going to be on a vent for the whole life. Like, it's beyond anything Derek can do. So that's a bummer, because Christina and Shane are like celebrating that they just made this huge, like really difficult save. And then it's immediately like, yeah, well, you saved him. For but what? Like, yeah. He's alive, but like, what? It's just this episode also is very quality of life situation kind of thing. So then Christina goes to tell the wife, like, this is a situation, he's going to be on a vent forever, all this stuff. And she's like, I know this man very well, and I don't think he would want to live this way, so I need you to wake him up so we can ask him. Which there is something to be said for someone who knows their spouse that well. Because in the first reality, he's like, no, I don't. In the first imagination timeline. And then also in reality, he's like, no, I don't want to live like this. And so there is something to be said for the fact that how well she knows him, that she's like, you got to wake him up and ask him, because he's not going to be into this. And she tells him, like, when they wake him up, she's like, whatever you decide, I understand, I support you. And so Christina asks him 3 times, and he's like, yes, I want you to take me off the vent. And so then he does. And that rattles her. She's like, I just spent all morning saving this man's life, and then he doesn't even want to live. Which I understand both sides of. I'll say at this point in my life, I feel like it's really hard to say, because it's like, you have kids. You want to be there for that, but it's also like not in a way that is a burden, either financially, emotionally, whatever that looks like. It's also hard, because like in that moment, you can't really like talk it through with your spouse. He's literally on a vent, but they don't have kids. It is just the two of them. So there's like a different aspect to like the different level to that. So it's really just the two of them. And she's very much like, I understand. I know you. I support you. Like, it's fine. And so he chooses to be off the vent, and she is like, I saved him for what? And then she goes to Owen, and she's like, what are we doing? I saved this man, and he doesn't even want to live. We are alive. We should be together. Let's get married. Which is insane.
Yeah, that is, it truly is insane.
Totally valid to be rattled and to like reevaluate values and like the way you're living your life in that situation. That I understand. But the where she gets to, no, I don't get it. That is too much for me.
So there's a couple of thoughts that I have that we'll talk about in a moment. We'll be right back after a message from these regional sponsors. And we're back. Okay, amazing. First thought I have, I could not boil down the feelings that I would have facing that quality of life with a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
There's so many final wishes that I think I would want to have accomplished in that. Like with kids, I would want my kids there to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And again, this is different. You called it out. Like, there's no kids involved in this, but there's just no way that I would be able to do that without being in the room with my kids in that moment.
Yeah.
But to go from such an insane, like, it's like, it's almost like Christina goes through the 49 stages of grief all in one moment.
Yeah.
And says, I need to marry Owen.
Yeah.
There's a security piece to it. I don't know what, there's a psychological safety piece to it that she keeps going back to. It's like the comfort thing. But yeah, I was like, we're going from like a crazy journey to you're the love of my life and we should be together. What are we doing? We're throwing this shit away. All which, this,
like,
blah, blah,
it's
blah.
Like some, I just like think there's an episode of Grace where Christina specifically says sometimes love isn't enough. And I just think that that is true.
Yeah.
Like, you can love someone and not be meant to be with them. And that might be the takeaway of this. I don't know. But it it is accurate. Especially when, as we've seen 100 quadrillion times, these people want vastly different things.
Like, there's no more opposite. There's fewer opposite things in the world than someone who wants kids and someone who doesn't.
Yeah. And that's just, that's one of those sacrifices where it's just like, there's the likelihood that you're going to come out of that without resentment is so low.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you can't compromise on it. There are so many things in a relationship you can absolutely compromise on, and that is simply not one of them.
And, you know, it's very interesting the way that they wrote Christina in that timeline where she has kids. She mm-hmm. makes a sacrifice. They're married and they have kids. And they write her kind of in and out of, I hate that I did this, and she's enjoying that she did this, is kind of my
take. Well, the whole way they've talked about it before is like, oh, if she has a baby, it's going to be like Ellis and Meredith. But that's not what it's like. When she has the babies, she gives up the career side, not the mother side.
Right. Right.
So, and that's not really how they had talked about it previously. But I think it's such like a desperate plea to like quote unquote fix the problem with her and Owen that I think what she is doing is just trying to be the mother that she thinks that he wants her to be, which is again not great. And there's probably, that's going to be resentment later in life towards both Owen and those kids, I fear, which is unfair.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, the whole thing that spurs on the having of the baby is he gets an opportunity. They're like, this is 2 years out from them getting married, if I'm remembering correctly. He gets an opportunity to like be in charge of like all of the doctors in the military or something like this.
And we get a callback to Teddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out for our Teddy fan club.
And Christina's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm like about to start my trial. I have like all this stuff going on here. And he's like, oh, yet again, you won't make any sacrifices for me. And I'm like, you dumb bitch. She made the sacrifice for you of being with you. Like, to me, Owen, that is a sacrifice. Also, to clarify, I'm calling Owen a dumb bitch.
Yeah.
And so, she then is like, fine, I guess I should like have a baby so that this man isn't mad at me anymore, which is crazy work. And it's unfortunate. And I don't like it.
In this timeline too, they have a dog.
Oh yeah, they get the dog, Mrs. Rodriguez. And it's
fucking
a man
rat
dog.
It's
dog.
So funny.
You named your dog Mrs. Rodriguez. When you meet him, you'll understand.
Yeah, yeah. So funny. And I like that they kind of throw a couple digs in there where Owen's like, I want a big dog. And Christina's like, well, a big dog has shits that come out as big as me. So no, thank you. So they get this little rat dog, name him Mrs. Rodriguez. Alex is like, the dog's going to be dead in a fucking week, whatever. Christina dresses the dogs in Meredith's kid clothes, which I think is very funny.
It is. He gets the shakes.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the constitution.
Which is so funny because all of the little rat dogs that I see at work, they're always in sweaters because they're just so, they're so cold.
They don't
all
have
the
constitution.
So, well, neither does America. So when we high level macro political science joke. But she's like, you talk about this dog like I talk about a baby. You have a baby. And then we get like a weird flashback right in the middle there where Jackson's like, what do you mean I can't operate? What happened to my hand? Blah. Yeah. And then, the Germany thing, then Christina's pregnant at the same time as April, which is...
We're belly buddies. No, we're not.
Belly buddies. So, and then the delivery... Let's talk about that delivery scene really quick.
Oof. So...
The only person in this conversation who's physically birthed a child, although I did 50% carry the child. I did zero of the birthing.
Unfortunately, do any percent of carrying the child. She's in labor. She's like very actively in labor, like about to push this baby out. And she's like, I can't do it. This is a mistake. And I'm like, first of all, yet again, I am here to say, I feel every time on a show or in a movie where someone's giving birth, they aren't having an epidural. but they're also not screaming enough, in my opinion. Like, we're in some weird, like, limbo of, like, not having pain medicine, but not showcasing enough pain. But listen, I don't know. Maybe some people handle pain differently. I don't know. It couldn't have been me. I was not having a good time before I had the epidural.
Maybe they didn't get an epidural as much as they got a half a dural.
Maybe. And so, there's a mistake, Meredith, what have I done? I can't do this. And Owen just, like, looks at Meredith, and Meredith's like, don't worry, everybody says that, which is, she's obviously lying to Owen. And then the baby is born, and Owen, like, immediately goes with the baby, and Christina's like, I have made a horrible decision. And Meredith's like, shh, don't say that out loud. Everybody is here.
Yeah.
And then they give her the baby, and there's, like, emotions and everything. So it's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bummer. And I don't enjoy the way that they wrote that kind of part of the storyline. But it flashes to they're kind of all at the park, and
it's a birthday party.
Christina's
pregnant again.
Exactly. And what I think is, wait, hold on. No. If it not quite there, there's an in-between piece. It's kind of a throwaway scene at the beginning, but it comes mm-hmm. back later. But Christina, her kid falls at the park, and she takes it to the doctor, but it's inside the hospital.
Yeah.
The baby's crying, and Shane is like, I need your help with this, the graft,
the return
thing.
Like follow-up or whatever.
And
phase
she says,
three.
Yeah, you just go ahead and do it. You take over. And that was like the first point on screen where it's Christina choosing the kid over
and
work.
Owen and Shane are both like, are you sure? And
yeah.
She's like, yes, just give me this baby. And then also they have the scene at the house where the baby's in the bassinet crying and she's just like staring at him. And Owen wakes up and she's like, don't worry, I got it. And she's just like so like dead eyes. And it's a bummer to see.
Also, let me just say, in the nicest way possible, if myself or Jessica wake up and the other person says, I got it, and then doesn't move from the bed while the baby is crying, I would be like, do you actually got it? He just goes back to sleep and ignores it.
Yeah, I don't love that.
I'm giving that 3 seconds. Not even. I'm giving it 2 seconds. You said you got it? Okay, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. If you got it, get to getting. And I would expect Jess to do the same to me if I just said, no, I got it. And then just continue to just sit there motionless.
Yeah. She would be like, Carmen, you fucking dumbass. Pick up the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, though, that's when they cut to it's like a soccer themed birthday party.
Mm-hmm. And Owen is just playing with their kid, Theo, which like, I read this theory online when I was reading about this episode that I hate. That said, the baby's name is Theo. That's probably short for Theodore. And Teddy's full name is Theodora. Did they name their child after Teddy? That's fucked up. I don't like it at all.
Yo, that is crazy.
And so, yeah. It's just like a bummer. And Meredith is asking Christina like if she's okay, and Christina's just like, look how happy Owen is. It's just like the plot of the episode is only one of them gets to be happy if they're together, which is just simply not good.
Yeah,
not what you want in a relationship, guys.
And they don't show any of the conversations where Christina talks about resentment to Owen.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have in the other alternate universe where Owen talks to Christina about his resentment.
Yeah, well, that's because Owen sucks.
Well,
it was blame her for his failings.
I was going to say, it really highlights him being a whiny ass bitch.
So true. So true. So was there anything else? Oh, and then they go and it's the Harper Avery.
Harper Avery, dude.
Christina's getting ready and Meredith's like, come on, we gotta go. Like, the Harper Avery's only happen once a year or whatever. And so they go to the Harper Avery's and they make you think, oh, Christina's getting it. And then she's actually presenting it to Shane.
So, which the second she was up there presenting and not receiving, I was like, oh, it's Shane because of the work with the veins and the grafts.
Her work. And
yeah, her work.
That she handed to him so that she could, like, yeah.
And yeah, then after that, it pans to her just sitting there crying on the toilet.
Yeah, she's having, like, a full-on mental breakdown, like, sobbing hysterically. And Meredith's like, can you please let me in? And, yeah, it's brutal.
It's very brutal. It is no fun at all. And that's the end of the timeline number one, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. Just ends there. So then it cuts back to Jason and Elise in real present time, and he chooses to live.
And should we actually separate each timeline into its own episode?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, okay. The timeline that we just had. So in this timeline, what's his name has kids?
Jason.
No. The other guy, the stupid fucker. Owen.
Oh. Owen, yeah.
The little bitch boy. He gets kids. But Christina's miserable. So
yeah.
What was your big takeaway? So I asked this question, you're a mom, obviously. Yeah. But you wanted kids.
I did.
What, like, try to put yourself, and I think I have a hard time with this too, but I'm not a mom, having kids that you never wanted and being forced to raise those kids in a world where moms carry so much in general.
Yeah. And I do not have, obviously, the same, like, very high demanding career of a surgeon.
It's higher, actually, our podcast.
But, like, yeah, the thing about being a parent is it really solidifies that if you don't want to be a parent, you shouldn't be, because it's just very hard. Like, because up until you're a parent, you spend your whole life only having to really worry about you, keeping yourself alive.
Yeah.
When you have to keep another person alive, like, your everything you know shifts. And I'm not saying it's bad, but everything you know is different. It has to be, otherwise you can't keep other human beings alive. And so, yeah, when people tell me they don't want kids, I will never be that person that's like, oh, you'll change your mind. No, I'm like, if you don't want kids and you know that, that's good. Because someone who doesn't want kids and has kids is not, like, it's, you can't just reconcile that and be like, oh, you know, it'll be fine. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, it's the hardest thing. It's the greatest thing in a lot of ways, if you want them.
If you want them, yeah.
But if you don't, like, again, it's one of those things where I'm like, how can you not have resentment? And then it's like, where does that resentment go? Does it go on the partner? Does it go on the kids? Does it go on both? Does it go on yourself? Like, and in this, it's just so clearly done to just, like, placate Owen. And I just don't think he has any, like, appreciation. And I don't mean appreciation in, like, gratefulness. Like, I don't even think he, like, registers that.
Well, because, like, most men on this TV show, they feel they are owed everything from all the women on the show.
He's just narcissistic and centered on himself. And
speaking of, I'd like to speak and only have everyone listen to me for a moment really quick.
You do feel that way.
No, I do want to make a quick pause, because you make a really good point that I don't think I ever really, like, actually thought of before. Resentment's going to get someone somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone's going to catch the brunt of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've really considered that, even if the person who had the kid is resentful to their partner, the kids can impact. The kids can receive that impact.
Yeah.
That's just, like, a very profound... No.
You had this kid.
Right.
But I don't think it's intentional, right?
No, but it's natural. It has to be... energy has to be displaced somewhere.
Right, yeah. And, you know, none of these people are going to therapy, so it's not going to be resolved.
Yep.
But, yeah, I just, like... And they always say, they said, you know, in the original argument, Christina was like, I would love a kid if I had one. It's not that I'm not going to love it. It's that I don't want to, like, separate from my passion in healthcare, in medicine. And so they show us that. They're like, yeah, she does love this kid. She doesn't not love the kid. But that doesn't mean there's, like, not nuances and layers and all this other bullshit behind it.
Yeah. And she's still a medical professional. She still goes to work.
Yeah.
But Christina Yang is not someone who just goes to work.
Yeah.
And that's the point that they're, I think, trying to make there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's, man, wild. Wild, wild. It is, it's interesting that we see very little interaction between Owen and Christina in that timeline. It's Christina with Meredith, Owen with child. There's not a lot of Christina and Owen together in that timeline. So,
and we just continue to see Meredith understanding Christina in ways that Owen never will.
Yeah.
Never even tries to do.
Yeah, because he sucks. So
did you have any other notes or thoughts on that timeline other than it sucks?
No, it was definitely, I think, hard. It was hard to watch all those things leading up to each other and seeing that progression, because you kind of see the distance growing and growing and growing. And then when Christina gives Shane the Harper Avery Award, which he does call her out and say that I am not here if it wasn't for Christina, which is true.
And but then also is twisting the knife in a lot of ways for her, probably.
Yes, for sure. And I think that all leads to her crying on the toilet, which just was so hard to watch. Very sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's really rough.
Yeah. So that was all I had for this particular timeline. I would like to, I think, yeah, we could probably break up the two timelines.
We'll wrap this and then we'll do the second half in the other episode after everyone's favorite segment.